Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to the second half of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to be speaking about hepatitis today, but I want to let you know that you can follow me at Joy Keys on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Just look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. Again, I encourage you to follow me at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. I'll be giving away a copy of Chica Onigwe's Night Dancer. I just got off the phone from her live from Belgium, and she has a new book out called Night Dancer. She was on before talking about On Black Sister Street. Her first book dealt with human trafficking. This book is dealing with single motherhood in Nigerian culture, particularly Igbo culture, and what she had to go through being a single mother and raising a daughter. So that story is a great story. If you want to learn more about it, you've got to follow at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. But right now I'll be speaking with a wonderful guest about hepatitis. I didn't really know that much about hepatitis, so I said, you know what, let me learn as well as the listeners can learn about it, and there's different types of hepatitis. Selma King-Thiel is on the line, I believe. Let me click her in. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, can you hear me?
This is Selma.
Hi, thank you so much for joining the show this morning.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
I'm sorry we got started a little late. I was doing a call before with a guest from Belgium, and we had a little phone connection issue, but I want to thank you for your patience. Again, for calling in today. Let me just tell the guests a little bit about you. Your focus is liver wellness, providing a program called Foundation for Decision Making, promoting healthy lifestyle behaviors. In collaboration with many federal, state, and local agencies, you've trained tens of thousands of healthcare providers, teachers, and social workers. You're known as the Liver Lady.
Right.
And you've served as administrator for three national voluntary agencies over the past four decades. You're currently the chair and CEO of Hepatitis Foundation International. You've also authored a series of 14 videos on liver wellness, prevention of hepatitis and substance abuse, and quick and easy teaching tools. So thank you so much for joining the show, Selma.
Well, I'm glad to be here to help your audience take better care of themselves.
So now, how did you get on this path, and how did you get the name the Liver Lady? Talk to us a little bit about your history.
I lost a four-year-old son 42 years ago to a very rare liver disease. He had been diagnosed at 2 weeks of age of having cirrhosis of the liver. Something had destroyed his bile ducts in utero, and he was just not able to get the bile out of his body and into his intestinal tract so that he could absorb all the vitamins and minerals from the food that he ate. He had two fractured hips before he was 2 years of age and suffered all of the terrible things that people who have cirrhosis go through. So that's my mission.
Wow.
He's my angel, and we've touched a lot of lives promoting liver health since he died.
Now, there's different types of hepatitis, A, B, C, D, E, all these things. And different groups of people are affected by different types of hepatitis.
Right.
For example, I was reading about Asian and Pacific Islanders with hepatitis B,
mm-hmm.
and then African Americans with hep C, or people with different STDs. Talk to the audience and try to break it down as easy as you can, these different types of hepatitis. What's the difference?
Well, you remember when you went to school and you learned that A, E, I, O, and U were vowels and all the others were consonants? Well, hepatitis A and E, those are vowels. They're found in the bowels and all the others are in blood. And that kind of gives you a quick and easy way to remember which one is which. Hepatitis
okay.
A is in the intestinal tract and the virus lives there. And the virus, the feces, have got to get into the mouth of another person for it to be transmitted, whether it's through anal oral sex or whether it's eating contaminated food or water that has been touched by someone who had the infection and didn't wash their hands after they went to the bathroom. B and C are both in blood. B is easier to catch than HIV. It's easily sexually transmitted. It is also in vaginal secretions and seminal fluid. Hepatitis C is in blood, not as easily sexually transmitted, but it can be transmitted through IV needles, snorting cocaine, getting through the mucous membranes, body piercing. Anything that breaks the skin can allow viruses and bacteria to get into the body. So they're very, very terrible diseases that travel to the liver, and they kill liver cells. Liver cells are really the employees in your own personal power plant. So it's up to you to take care of this wonderful, miraculous liver that keeps you alive and healthy 24 hours a day.
So now, in terms of, one of the fans posted on the Facebook page that her mother had died of hepatitis, and she was a nurse. Now, this was a long time ago. She worked in a hospital. She didn't smoke. She didn't use drugs. She wasn't, as far as the daughter knew, in terms of her sexual, you know, interactions, wasn't, you know, having anal sex or anything. But, you know, who knows? But she definitely wasn't doing drugs or shooting up or smoking. But she believes it was because working in a hospital, they didn't have the same guidelines that they do now.
Talk
to me a little bit about this issue that, it can be may not be sexual or may not be in terms of drug use, but it could be because of sanitary issues, yes?
Right. Well, again, the needle sticks for the nurses, you know, they just never know whether they're poking themselves just innocently, not realizing that they've done it, and it could be a contaminated needle. Any kind of a sharp that breaks it. For instance, if a child is in school and has hepatitis B and they cannot make the clotting factor, when they get a bloody nose, it's not a bloody nose, it's a hemorrhage, and that blood would get all over the desk, whatever. Well, that virus can live in that blood for 7 to 10 days. Well, you can clean it up with a wet washcloth or whatever, and unless you kill that virus, person coming along either touching that and getting it into it, even a paper cut, they can transmit the disease that way. So it's really your skin is your first line of defense against these viruses. Your mucous membranes, which is the lining of your whole entire body, is easy access for them. So putting the straw from snorting cocaine in your nose can easily transmit the virus if it's a contaminated straw. Again, the sexual contact, it's the mucous membranes in the genitals area. So we really have to know how these diseases are transmitted for us to protect ourselves.
Now, I was reading recently on Twitter, the World Health Organization had mentioned about using syringes that retain less blood after use reduce the survival of HIV and hepatitis C in the syringe's blood. Have you heard anything about this type of syringe retaining less blood?
Well, it's any syringe that contains less blood, right? Any when you dilute the virus, it's not as easily transmitted. You have to have a number of the viral particles for it to be transmitted. For instance, one of the things that I tell people, in 1 teaspoon of blood, there are maybe 5 to 10 particles of the HIV virus, whereas in 1 teaspoon of hepatitis B blood, there are 500,000 particles of the virus.
Wow.
So there's a concentration there. This is why when a woman who is pregnant and has hepatitis B, they try to reduce the viral load, they call it, in her body so that when the baby is born and come in contact with the blood from the vaginal process, the baby will not be exposed to it. This is another reason why we vaccinate children and give them immune globulin immediately within 12 hours after delivery for those who have a mom that's infected.
So now, when you're getting these immunizations, where is the problem? In different countries, they're not offering them, and that's something else I was reading, that the World Health was really encouraging different countries to offer the rapid Hep B vaccine.
Well, it goes back to finances. It's a costly vaccine, and yet we've had a vaccine here for 20 decades, and we really have missed the boat on a lot of our Asian folks. Of course, 10% of the Asians that come into this country are infected with hepatitis B, and unless they're educated and their family members are vaccinated, we've just left the door open for more infections transmitting to other people. So we really have to get out to make people realize that everyone really should be vaccinated for hepatitis B.
Now, do you have to get a vaccine every 10, 15, 20 years, or just one time?
No, it's when you get the series of hepatitis B vaccine, you get it initially, and then within a month you get another one, and then within 6 months you can get another dose, and then you have 99% protection against that vaccine. There is a more rapid process. You can get it within a couple of months so that you are protected. But again, this is a very treacherous disease that can be prevented, and actually hepatitis B can lead to cancer, and this is the first time we've had a vaccine that could prevent a type of cancer. So it's really a miraculous vaccine.
A friend of mine went to Spain recently, and then she was thinking about going to Morocco. She had to get a Hep B. She,
right.
I guess, had not gotten it or didn't realize it. So, when people go for their yearly checkups, is this a question they need to ask their healthcare provider? Hey,
well,
do I have this, or should I get this now?
Unfortunately, most physicians do not test for hepatitis when you go for a routine exam. So you really have to ask for the test because, you know, when they do the history, a lot of people don't want to say, well, yes, I've had unprotected sex and I was using drugs or whatever, so that they don't want to feel guilty. So if they've had body piercing, tattooing, one of the physicians on my board says when he asks people this, he'll give them a whole list of the risk factors and say, well, if you've done any one of these, just shake your head. And he says that takes away the guilt trip, and then he will test them for it. So we have to deal with the psychological impact of these diseases also.
Well, it is. I mean, like you said, people feel a sense maybe of shame and guilt. And then also if they might have infected someone else. I mean, same with HIV. People who have HIV, some people know they have it, and they continue to have unprotected sex because they're in denial about their state, and then they don't want to tell other people, but then they're, in a sense, you know, giving people a death sentence.
Unfortunately, the people who have HIV are getting infected with hepatitis C because they're participating in the same kind of risk behaviors that got them infected in the first place. And unfortunately, the hepatitis virus is attacking the liver cells that are essential for them to process the drugs that they're taking to keep them alive with their HIV. So unfortunately, folks with HIV who are co-infected with hepatitis C are dying of their hepatitis C.
So now, what is this hepatitis E? Talk about that a little bit.
B as in boy or D as in dog?
E as in elephant.
We're into the animals this morning.
Yes.
that is not a common disease in this country. It's in the fecal material, it's in the intestinal tract, and it is a problem for women who may be pregnant because then there is no treatment for it. So in third world countries, this is more of a problem.
What are some of the symptoms of hepatitis B and C? How would I know that I had Hep B or C in this country?
Unfortunately, the liver is its own worst enemy because it does not give any signs or symptoms that it's in trouble. These liver cells are working hard to convert the food that you eat into hundreds of body functions, and people don't realize that whether it's hepatitis viruses or whether it's fats that they're eating and the sugar that they're overeating can all kill liver cells. And these, again, are the employees in your own personal power plant. And the first sign that your liver is in trouble is fatigue. And people can feel tired, and they think they can find all kinds of excuses for being tired, and they don't think of the liver. And because the liver is a non-complaining organ, people don't go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, I have a pain in my liver. So it's been a sadly neglected organ for too long. And trying to motivate people who may have been using IV drugs 20, 30 years ago to get off that chair and get tested is a real challenge because, oh, I feel fine. I go to work every day. I play basketball, whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't have any signs. It couldn't be me. So, again, we have to take a step back, and we have found that this is why I'm the liver lady, is that if you tell people how important their liver is so they realize that, gee, I may have caused this a problem. You know, again, I go back to the liver is the internal power plant because everything that you eat, breathe, and absorb through your skin has to be refined and detoxified by your liver.
It's a control.
It's like a nuclear power plant that takes that
for your body
and converts it. Every organ in your body needs the liver, what the liver does for it. It makes it.
I don't
you
think
in fact,
you know we really learn that. We really. I mean, like I said, I like in trying to educate myself about hepatitis for the podcast today. You know, I just learned so much. And one of the things I want to mention is, you know, I just asked, how can you tell if you have this virus or what type? The CDC has a hepatitis risk assessment online, so people can check this out. This is cdc.gov/hepatitis/risk assessment. It only takes about 5 minutes, but this is something you can do in the privacy of your own home. Like you said, we were talking earlier about people not wanting to talk to their, you know, healthcare provider, you know, about their sexual behavior or their drug use. Or you may not even have been in those situations. You could be a healthcare provider in a hospital, like Thelma was mentioning about, you know, needle pricks or things of that nature. But this is an assessment you can take in private to help you try to, you know, get a personalized report. Also, I want to mention again that Thelma is here on behalf of the Hepatitis Foundation International. You want to check their website, which is hepfi.org. Again, hepfi.org. They have a lot of wonderful resources there, news and events, things going on. I know there was a conference I saw on your webpage. Is there a conference coming up or just passed?
Yes, recently? We know. We have 7 viral hepatitis summits set up. We're reaching out to healthcare providers, nurses, nurse practitioners, physicians, assistants, social workers, substance abuse counselors with these, a one-day program where they can get continuing education credits. But our website, really, it's easier if they remember just Hepatitis Foundation and they'll find us.
Okay, there you go, hepatitisfoundation.org.
That will get them to us. And we have an 800 number, too. It's 800-891-0707. And we would be happy to send them some information if they would like to, you know, learn more about hepatitis or about the liver. Again, we have another website called partnersinliverwellness.org that will tell them how important their liver is. Because, again, in my opinion, most everyone has been exposed in some way to either the viruses or to fatty foods or some of the things that may have caused a liver problem. So that really when you go to the physician, just ask to be tested. That's, you know, it could protect you from having serious problems. And, you know, if you aren't identified with hepatitis C and the virus keeps killing those liver cells, that's called cirrhosis, by the way. Dead liver cells are cirrhosis, and most people don't know what that is. But you eventually...
Well, you usually associate that with people who maybe like drinking alcohol.
That's right.
And you'll hear about that in relation to them, but that it can also happen that you're not drinking in other situations.
Right. People used to ask me if I drank when I was pregnant because my son had cirrhosis. They didn't have a clue. And when you're talking about you didn't learn about the liver, unfortunately, the liver is not in the curriculum in our schools today. And we have really sold our children short by not educating them about the liver and how to take care of it and why they should take care of it. Right now, there's a tremendous increase in the number of adolescents, young children, getting hepatitis C. And we really haven't taken the time or to educate them about how to protect themselves and how important this liver is to their future. College kids.
Well, I think overall, the issue of health and caring for ourselves, our country is kind of is behind. The First Lady is definitely making an effort in terms of obesity and things, which will help your overall health, high blood pressure, cholesterol, things of that nature. Stress, anytime you exercise and take care of yourself and eat right, all those things can fall in line. So it's just the overall needs to be a shift, a paradigm shift, I think, in the curriculum that's taught. And also in terms of exercise, gym, they don't even have gym. My daughter was senior year of high school, she didn't have gym anymore. So it's just the issue of shifting our paradigm about health and how important it is, and that truly if you take care of your health, you will live longer and be healthier in the mind as well, you know, because having an illness is stressful. It brings on a lot of stress for the caregivers, for the person with the illness, for you. Like, say, for example, you lost your son. You have some sadness that you probably carried for a while, you know. So these are things that could be prevented somehow or helped, you know. Anything we can do proactively, getting the virus, talking to your healthcare provider is wonderful. Now, next Saturday is World Hepatitis Day, yes?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, again,
are you doing anything special for World Hepatitis Awareness Day?
Oh, well, we, as I say, we have 7 summits set up, so that we're trying to, we will reach out to at least 500 of these healthcare providers and providing them with the information that we have. As you mentioned earlier, we have DVDs that they can use, but most people don't realize that you were talking about cholesterol and obesity. These are all liver-related preventable diseases because the fats get into the liver cells and they make little fat cells inside the cell and they kill the liver cell. The sugar,
right,
the same
right.
way, the diabetes, the high cholesterol, the fetal alcohol syndrome, these are all preventable diseases. And, of course, substance abuse, the kids are taking drugs and binge drinking in college. We're currently developing a DVD addressing that issue in with college kids.
Yeah, that's a big issue. People don't realize that they just think it's part of like college life. I'm going to go drink and do this and experiment, but there are risk factors. But I'm sorry, Thelma, we've run out of time today. But I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing all your knowledge, the liver lady.
Well, again, invite me back. We can talk about obesity and some other things too. But thank you so much for having me.
Okay, thank you so much. And you said that people can go to Hepatitis Foundation and it'll link them right to your site, correct?
That's right.
And then what's your phone number? Give them your phone number again.
800-891-0707.
And do you have an email address that they can email to?
Yeah, TKT for Thelma King Thiel at hepatitisfoundation.org. TKT at hepatitisfoundation.org. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Well, thank you, Joy. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Just got off the phone with Thelma King Thiel. She's the founder, CEO of the Hepatitis Foundation International. Just shared all her wonderful knowledge about hepatitis and the different types of hepatitis. There's the A, B, C, D, and E. Wow, so much to learn. And that hepatitis C can lead to liver cancer. More than 2 billion people have been exposed to viral hepatitis B and C. And as a result, 1 in 12 people worldwide are living with the disease. Hepatitis C is curable, but hepatitis B vaccine is one of the cheapest and most effective vaccines, but many people don't get it. They don't even know they need it. So it's the question you need to ask when you go to your checkup next. Do I need a hepatitis B vaccine? Have I had one? You know, if not, can I be tested for hepatitis? Just try to be proactive. Many things in life are preventable, and we do have a lot of power and control over them. So let's take advantage of that. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter.com/JoyKeys, and you can become a fan on Facebook. Look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Also, send me an email. I would love to hear from you. My email address is SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@Hotmail.com. Next Saturday, live from Denmark with singer Nabia, talking about her album. And today I'll be giving away a copy of Chika Unigwe's Night Dancer. I just got off the phone with her at 9 a.m. Eastern talking about her latest book, Night Dancer. So if you want a free copy, follow at Joy Keys or become a fan on Facebook. Again, look up Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Close to 160,000 downloads of the podcast. Thank you. Could not have done that without your support. I hope you have a wonderful weekend and a great week. Again, just thank you so much.